Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is April 24th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is Slappy Jones 2, and we are both at McFlugel.com. Show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/36. So with that, I'll pass it right over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our topic.
Yeah, thank you, Rollo, and thank you everyone for listening today. Today we're going to discuss an article that was on Philly.com, and this is referencing a story that Rollo wrote about 3 years ago, this week actually, when it happened. This is a story of Felipe Holland, who was delivering a cheeseburger in West Philadelphia. Two shadowy figures came up on him quick. Now, if you know anything about West Philadelphia, it's not the nicest neighborhood in the world. So two guys in hoodies and cargo shorts run up on him. He takes off, gets to his car. Shots are fired. Felipe is hit in his leg and in his head. It went through his jaw and his left eye, I believe. Something like 12 more shots were fired into the car as he was driving away. Turns out Felipe was just working. He was a college student who was delivering a cheeseburger to West Philadelphia. The shooters were two Philadelphia police officers. And today, we find that they were cleared of all wrongdoing here. So I kind of made a long story short, but Rollo, your initial thoughts?
As I wrote about 3 years ago when this story came out, I asked the question, would you have shot this man? You know, putting yourself in that situation, would you have shot this guy? You know, you're not being a police officer. And I think that the vast majority of people would say no.
I think every person would say no.
Right. But, you know, since they're police officers, that somehow changes the situation. And a few other points about the story. The two police officers were in plain clothes, but they did not say who they were. They didn't say, you know, stop, we're the police.
That's according to several witnesses.
Right.
And witnesses there was a group of actually public defenders who were out that night, were in their car, happened right in front of them. The woman who got the cheeseburger delivered to her house, and then there was another person who witnessed hearing gunshots and pointed in the direction that where they heard the gunshots. So the cops were on the scene because there was a report of gunshots in the area.
Right.
Now, I think it's important to know in every article we've read, it's just that there was a report of gunshots. No dead body, no wounded body, just a report of gunshots. According to the witness who directed the cops went in the opposite direction to where she pointed to hearing the gunshots from. So, you know, why they came out. Yeah, I realize you're on the scene, you heard there's gunshots, but this guy's running away from you.
And the other thing is, the other important part is that there had been a string of violent muggings and robberies against delivery men in that neighborhood. And Felipe presumably knew that, which is why when two shady guys at night, right after you make a delivery,
came out of an unmarked car, didn't right. say that with the police, didn't have a badge out.
So it's the perfect situation to get mugged. You may have just, you probably have cash on you because you're making deliveries. And, you know, two guys are walking up to you. Hey, yo, hold up. In his mind, I'm about to get robbed. I better run in my car, which is exactly what he did. And so what blows my mind about this is that, okay, first of all, even assume, because I don't believe that these two police officers, you know, heard, oh, there's a report of gunshots. They didn't go, and their heads are not thinking, yeah, let's go shoot someone in the face. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that that wasn't on their minds. That they didn't want, they did not intend to shoot an innocent person. But let's go through what happens. All right, so they hear that there's gunshots reported. They walk up to a guy. Just the first guy they see, they say stop, don't say who they are. The guy runs to his car and starts driving away. Not at them, although I think they said that they were protecting themselves because they jumped in the middle of the street. And so the car's driving at them because that's, you know, the way the car was pointed. So most people, if there's a car driving towards you, you just kind of step out of the way. But they, I guess, stood their ground and decided that, hey, we're under a threat now, so let's unload our guns into this car. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you? It's the classic, shoot first and ask questions later. But why? Is that really the kind of customer service you would want from an organization?
Yeah, I mean, let's say the guy running was the guy who allegedly fired shots. I mentioned earlier, what I think is interesting, never said what was shot. So someone heard gunshots, but no human was shot. They didn't report on any windows being shot at or anything being shot at. So we don't even know if there actually was a gunshot. You think they'd go at least identify themselves. I'm sure they had guns drawn. It's 2-on-1, you know, see if you can at least have a conversation. The guy takes off running. All right. I understand pursuing him. Put your lights on, pull him over.
Sure. I wouldn't. I mean, that would have been fine.
Now, of course,
get his license plate number or something. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm sure people are going, yeah, but you don't know. You're not in that situation. But
don't err on the side of shooting someone in the face, though. That's right. The main issue.
And if, as people say, these are the guys putting their lives on the line every day, why aren't they trained better? Why aren't they trained to de-escalate a situation? Why wouldn't they at least be trained to identify themselves? In fact, in this article, it does say that training protocols were changed over this. And these guys were on the force for 2 years in plain clothes. That's no longer allowed. There's a couple other issues here. I recommend reading the article, which will be linked. But why don't I just read a couple excerpts from the article that I think are interesting? Well, this is a side point, but the fact that the officers were never prosecuted, I just want, if it were anyone else in any similar situation, even if they had a real problem with that guy, would anyone else be not charged with a crime here? Like, let's say that man running just raped a child or something, and he was caught in the act, and a plainclothes civilian, regular guy went after him and fired 14 shots at the car. Do you think that guy would be charged with something? Good chance of it. But this is what one thing I thought was interesting in the article, and this is a quote. There have been more than 430 officer-involved shootings between 2007 and 2016. That's in Philadelphia. The district attorney's office has never charged any on-duty officers involved. That's end quote. That's pretty incredible. So they're saying all 430 times an officer fired a shot, it was legitimate, it was legal, it was reasonable. We talked about a guy, it's probably about a year ago, Craig, what was his name? Craig Love?
I think so.
Yeah, he fired a shot to break up a fight, and they had the U.S. Marshals after him. He didn't shoot anyone. He actually broke up a big fight, and the U.S. Marshals had to track him down.
Yeah, it was a fight, by the way. We got more information from someone who knew what was going on there. Situation where if he didn't break up the fight, people would have gotten really seriously hurt.
There was, yeah, from...
One side showed up for a fist fight. The other side showed up with baseball bats.
Right. And that's from a source who was there. So someone likely would have been hurt if that gun wasn't pulled out and fired. Nobody did get hit. And the police commissioner was saying how this guy's a thug and a gangster and he's got to be stopped and this can't happen in our township. But then what kind of example do you set when 14 shots are fired at an innocent man, ruining his life forever? Yeah, it was a kid suffers, trying to work his way through college.
He suffers from seizures now as a result.
Yeah, there's bullet fragments in his brain that can't be removed. It's pretty sad.
There's another interesting quote from that article. And it says, as of last week, Holland was still referred to as, quote, the offender on that site. Referring to the police department's website.
So haven't even dropped that. He's not the victim. He's the offender. The offender was delivering a cheeseburger.
The, the way that they always word everything is so terrible. Like the United flight where the doctor was pulled off by the police and got a concussion and a broken nose. The way the police report was written, it was, you know, you watch the video and you see the police were just manhandling the guy, throwing around like a rag doll, and they smash his face against the armrest. In the report, it said, as he was being removed, this is not a quote, I'm paraphrasing. As he was being removed from his seat, his face hit the armrest. It's always like such passive voice that they use. And in this case, they're calling, referring to him as Holland as the offender. Come on. I mean, he was never charged with, and that's the other thing. There's a lot of stories.
He wasn't charged with anything.
There's a lot of stories where someone gets shot, whether it was Michael Brown or Eric Gardner gets choked to death by the police. And they always, people, especially on the more conservative side, love to point out, oh, this guy had a history, or this guy did this wrong or that wrong. It kind of, to rationalize it, well, it may not have been the best move by the police, but he wasn't a good guy anyway. As far as I know, there's nothing that they can point to. This guy was working his job, and he was in college. So he's doing like the two, you know, conservative little bullet points of how you're a good person by you're trying to better yourself by going to college and you're taking care of yourself by working a job. And he's working a job in a bad area. Like you said earlier, West Philly isn't exactly the nicest place to be. And then there was also, you know, all the string of robberies that were going on. So you want to talk about putting your well-being on the line to earn a buck. This was Felipe Holland.
Yeah, just to pick another quote out of the article. This is from the police spokesman. He says, no disrespect to Miss Denisi. She was one of the witnesses. That's her recollection of facts, he said. The officers rendered their recollection of facts, too. No one is cited here for lying. The problem is there's only two guys who saw it the way the police officers saw it, and it was them.
Yeah.
And so would you get the benefit of the doubt in the same situation? The facts are 14 shots were fired at a car. Two of them hit the guy. Would anyone else get that benefit of a doubt?
No.
No matter how dangerous their job was or what their job was for that matter.
You can have a video of exactly what happened as a police officer and still get the benefit of the doubt. Like Kelly Thomas? Is that his last name?
I think so.
The guy who got murdered by the police officers is schizophrenic and he's just literally not doing anything. And it's all on video. And the police officer puts his fist up to him and sees this. See this? I'm going to kill you with this. And then proceeds to beat him to death. And goes to trial and not guilty. Well, I mean, he's just doing his job.
You know, another point to this story, too, that I don't think we mentioned yet, that the point of this article, not only that they got cleared, but that the police department, Philadelphia, settled for $4.4 million with the guy.
Yeah.
So there's
no wrongdoing, but we got to pay out the largest lawsuit payout in the history of the department.
Right. The city, you know, clearly thinks something egregious happened. Then why are the cops back out on the street again? Why they're not held responsible for anything they did? And that's the reason why. You can talk about how, oh, it's just a couple bad eggs. But you know what? All the, quote, good eggs aren't turning into bad eggs. And when the bad eggs do something, nothing happens. And that's why people, middle class people, more and more don't trust the police.
Right.
What kind of signal are you sending where you pay out $4.4 million and say the cops did nothing wrong? Then why'd you pay out $4.4 million?
Exactly. But who's prosecuting the police officers?
Well, you know, never mind. I'm sorry. The police department was investigated. So that's why they cleared them. They investigated themselves and found nothing wrong.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, as long as you're investigating yourself. Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, who's the... You have the police department, which is a government organization, gets tried in a court that is also a government organization. You think there might be a conflict of interest there or something? I mean, they all know each other because
Yeah, and the problem is this, I think people think police shootings, because you'll hear it all the time in, well, I hear it all the time, and you see it in comments on the article. Just whenever a cop shoots someone, it's national news, it's all over the place, you know, but they get shot at every day. But that's just simply not true. Even in this article, it says 406 happened in the last, I don't know how many years it was, 10 years, 8 years. That's 400 shootings. Has any of them made national news? Did this one make national news?
I think it might have. I saw an article from the Daily Mail, which is
maybe it did. Okay.
But, I mean, it didn't gain much traction. I mean,
I don't know
Philadelphia. I know most people that I talked to didn't know really anything about it.
No, especially 3 years after the fact.
Right.
Nobody knows about it. But just, you know, to make that case that every time a cop shoots someone, it's national news, but they get shot at every day, just isn't true. And you can look at the statistics yourself.
Yeah, it's just appalling that you can shoot someone in the face who was doing absolutely nothing wrong and would have acted in the same way any normal, rational person would have acted. I'm in a rough neighborhood, and there's been a lot of muggings of people, and there's guys in a hoodie walking up to me at night telling me to stop. Of course I'm running to my car and trying to get away.
Yeah, three witnesses thought it was a carjacking. So clearly the guy wasn't didn't appear to be a threat. It looked obviously like he was trying to get away.
Go ahead.
Well, let's say the guy... I can't remember. My short-term memory's gone. Let's say the guy did fire the shots. He didn't hit anything. Is it really worth killing him over?
Right. It's... No. I know you didn't need me to answer that question, but no, it's not. And that's where... Just because... And generally speaking, just because someone commits a crime doesn't mean... You need a death sentence for them on the spot, you know, yeah. Judgment by the police, that thin blue line thing that they love to talk about. It's absurd. It's
a sad story. And I think you should read the articles that we link. It has a lot more information on the discrepancies between the witnesses and the police officers. The mixed message it sends when you pay $4.4 million in a settlement and then say nothing bad happened. And, I even think most people who read this article, I don't think, even the people who typically will support the police no matter what, I don't even know that they would defend them here. But they also won't be upset that they're back on the force.
Right.
And they won't be upset that they're not being charged. They'll clearly say, oh, they're bad apples. Those guys, you know, that was wrong. They shouldn't fire 14 shots at a pizza delivery or cheeseburger delivery guy. But not too many people are going to be calling for these cops to be off the streets.
No, and that's the funny thing about it is people can recognize when something wrong like that happens, but they still won't.
Like, you're not allowed anywhere near a school if you have a gun charge. Yet you're going to put these people... to be the ones in charge of, air quotes, keeping peace with guns. This is insane. It's absolutely insane. But that's the way it is. And that's why people don't trust cops.
Yep. So. And it also goes to show, because this was a slam dunk case of the police absolutely being in the wrong, the victim absolutely being in the right, and nothing really happens. You know, you got the settlement and everything, but the police officers, nothing happens to them. And I think this is why it's very important that when these stories come up, that you make a big deal about them and spread them and get people riled up over it. Because if there's not public pressure, they won't do a thing about it.
No, they'll sweep that under the rug so quick, put it aside. In fact, the witnesses even said that. You know, when they called to give a statement the next day, because at the scene, the cops didn't want to talk to them. At the scene the next day, they said they got the feeling like the cops just wanted them to go away. So we were going to try to keep this as hush-hush as possible. But anyway, I think that sums up the story pretty good. Like I said, check out the articles, and we wish the best to Felipe. Hope he's doing well. $4.4 million probably isn't enough for him.
Yeah,
for what he had to go through.
It's very easy for people to say, "Oh, that's not that he's getting. He's going to be a millionaire now."
He was a 20-year-old kid going to school and working.
The reason why those payouts are so much is because your quality of life just gets destroyed, and that's not for that $4.4 million. I don't know exactly.
That's
the situation.
Going to medical bills, man.
Yeah, that's to make your life bearable moving forward.
And
that's not
knows,
to let you have him sitting pretty on a on your yacht.
He's got bullet fragments in his brain that they can't remove, and the Philadelphia Police Department's response is, "Oops."
Yep.
You know. Here's a couple bucks, kid.
That
we're gonna, well, our guys got to get back on the streets while they had paid vacation since then.
Yeah, it's absurd. So, with that, I have a free market story to tell.
Let's hear it.
So on Friday, I went to pick up a suit that I purchased and the week before and had tailored for me. So I go to pick it up. And one of the salesmen sees me, and he takes me to the back where they have the fittings and everything. And says, "Go ahead and try on the pants. Come right out." So I put the pants on, come out, kind of waiting there. Waited there. I don't know how long I was standing there waiting, but it was forever. And finally, he comes back over. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize." I forget what his excuse was, but you know, he put the suit jacket on, and because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know if I needed like their blessing, because I could put on a suit. It feels okay to me, but I don't know. I'm not Mr. Fashion over here. Believe it or not,
you don't wear suits in the refinery?
No, but I don't. And believe it or not, I'm not like Mr. Fashion that I know how things are supposed to look and fit and everything. I just put it on and hope
it's all natural to you.
Yeah, hope it doesn't look completely ridiculous. So try the suit on and everything's good. And I needed to buy a belt, so I mentioned that to him. He got me the belt, and I'm getting ready to pay for it. And he says, "Yeah, so for your patience, because I really do apologize, make you wait back there. For your patience, I'm taking half off the belt." And it wasn't a cheap belt. It was a $60 belt, so he took off $30 for it.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, and he said, "You know, I appreciate your business. Again, apologize for that." And I think they gave me a garment bag for free, too, because they... The guy brought out my suit, and it was just in a plastic bag. And he goes, "Do we have any garment bags? Go get it. Go get him one." So they value. I'm one person. I'm not going to make or break that company if I never go back there again. And in the beginning, I was kind of just standing there, like, "Oh, they must be busy." But after you're standing there a while, I was starting to get annoyed.
You get a little bit annoyed, yeah. What's going on here? What are they doing?
So maybe
leaves a bad taste in your mouth right. For the next time you want a suit. But now. Give you half off the belt, maybe you'll come back.
Yeah.
Maybe you feel a little better.
Absolutely, I'm going to go back. Because it shows that they value the individual.
Why would they do that?
Because they want my business. And because they want me to go on the Rollo and Slappy show and talk about...
And promote them.
Yeah. It was Men's Warehouse, by the way. So, yeah, and it was one guy, and I don't think he went back and got his manager's permission or something to do that. I think that if that situation happened, and I think the management would say, "Oh, good job. Good for doing that. Maybe make sure the customer doesn't get, you know, standing there for a while." But, you know, you made everything good, and I left with a smile on my face and was happy.
You might go on, leave a review. Suit was nice, fit good. Had to wait for 15 minutes while I stood and stared at myself in the mirror waiting for this guy to come back.
Yeah, not a good thing to stare at for a while either.
No, not at all. And then you end up rating them 2 or 3 stars instead of 5.
And then I go on this show and say, "Oh, they made me wait, so I'm gonna go to Joseph A. Bank next time. Thank goodness for the market where I have options."
Or you recommend the state takes over the suits and
absolutely.
So that way you don't have to wait.
And that's not the only customer service oriented thing. It happens all the time. Like last couple months on Craigslist when I bought my tractor, the guy I bought it from mentioned that there was a leak because he put a seal on the wrong side of a cover plate. And so he let me know that. Whereas if I found it afterwards and saw it was leaking, then I'd be a little bit annoyed at him, but
Found a way to slide it in.
I did. And I waited till the end. That's all I thought about all day today. I didn't prepare for the episode. I just thought about how am I going to work the tractor into this week. So
she got it. Slappy
created a monster with that, by the way.
Yeah. Your tractor created the monster.
Yes.
So anyway, thanks for joining us this week.
Yes. It was funny. When I was thinking about what we should do before you sent me the link to this article this morning, I go, well, we should probably do an episode where we're not complaining about how the state does something bad. Maybe a positive thing. Or just maybe talk about an economic thing, just kind of a neutral topic. But then you sent me that. I was like, oh, there's no, we have to talk about this.
I know. I prefer to talk about the happy stuff, but this was a case that's local to us. It was something we kind of covered in the past. And it's really sad. And it's not getting the attention it should. And so there was a need to.
Absolutely.
But let's get back to happy stuff next week.
Yes. So with that, the show notes page again is mcflugel.com/36. Also, if you didn't check out the episode last week, where you can find it at mcflugel.com/35, we interviewed Matt Erpelwing, an Idaho congressman who made a bit of a gaffe talking about inflation and gold. And he was cool enough to come on the episode and explain what happened. So I recommend giving that a listen. You might be surprised with what he said. But also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the website, and you can find the links to all of that, and also for following the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher on the show notes page, mcflugel.com/35. So, thanks for listening again. Be sure to share, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, tell your friends. Peace.